According to Shams of The Athletic, the Sacramento Kings have expressed interest in Utah Jazz star guard Donovan Mitchell. But what kind of package would the Sacramento Kings have to put together in order to land him? And does it even really make sense for Monty McNair in this current Kings timeline? I'll explain on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time. Time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome into Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. My name is Matt George. I have the privilege of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports reporter and producer at ABC 10 News in Sacramento. And today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. They have you covered all season and off season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I had completely different plans for recording today's Locked On Kings podcast. I was actually going to spend the entire podcast talking about what De'Aaron Fox has to do this next season and what has to happen for the Sacramento Kings in order for De'Aaron to finally be an all-star in the Western Conference. And I'm still going to talk about that, but I'm going to push that to a later episode of Locked On Kings, because about an hour before I was getting ready to record, I saw this news that dropped from Shams of The Athletic that the Sacramento Kings are amongst multiple teams that have inquired about Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz. And this doesn't surprise me whatsoever. First off, I'll read for you directly from the piece. Shams writes, along with New York, Several other teams have expressed interest in the Jazz, or to the Jazz, when it comes to Mitchell, such as Washington, Miami, Toronto, Charlotte, Sacramento, and Atlanta, according to sources. So those are a bunch of teams that have actually, according to Shams, expressed interest to the Jazz, who have reached out and begun discussions with the Utah Jazz about a potential Donovan Mitchell trade. I'm sure there are far more teams than just those who have interest in acquiring Donovan Mitchell and would love for Donovan Mitchell to play for their team. But realistically, let's talk about this from a Sacramento Kings standpoint, because I'm going to explain to you why I don't believe a deal like this could get done without the Kings moving De'Aaron Fox. And even if you, like me, think that Donovan Mitchell is a better player than De'Aaron Fox, or Donovan Mitchell has shown to be a better player and a better star than De'Aaron Fox to this point, why the Kings taking that route, putting together a package that would include, not just be De'Aaron, would include De'Aaron, it doesn't make sense for what Monty McNair is trying to do. It's a complete 180, or not necessarily a complete 180, I should say. It's a direct 90-degree turn from the timeline, from the path that Monty McNair has put the Kings on really since last year's trade deadline. I'll explain all that, but let's talk first about what Donovan Mitchell brings the Sacramento Kings, right? He's a star. He's a scorer. He's a primary ball handler, even though he's not necessarily a point guard. He is not known for his playmaking, although the ball is in his hands a majority of the time. He did spend some time at times playing point guard for the Utah Jazz, but most of the time he was a starting two next to Mike Conley and I think Ricky Rubio before that. Donovan Mitchell is a scoring guard. He is a modern day guard in so many ways, and he is able to create for his teammates. I'm not going to say that he's a selfish basketball player by any means, but that's not what he is known for. If the ball is in Donovan Mitchell's hands, he's looking to score. He's a good shooter. He can score from anywhere on the floor. He's young. He could definitely fit the Kings' tempo ideal offensive scenario, getting up and down the floor. He's an all-star. And for good reason. And there are I have actually had a conversation about this. I think it was 2 weeks ago on D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320. I was debating with KC, really, if Donovan Mitchell is a better player than De'Aaron Fox. In my mind, he is. Now, I don't think the margin is as extreme as some people maybe in Utah may think, but Donovan Mitchell, he's proven to be a very good player. He's done it on a playoff stage. He's had all-star appearances. But of course, Donovan Mitchell has had significantly better players around him, a better system. And for now, this is the first time he's going through a coaching change, but has had Quinn Snyder with him the entire time. Of course, De'Aaron Fox has gone through multiple head coaches, has gone through a bunch of teammates, has never had as good of players as Donovan Mitchell has had around him. And In my opinion, if you took Donovan Mitchell and put him here in Sacramento, he would have been effective. If you put De'Aaron Fox in Utah, he would have been effective. I don't think the Utah Jazz would have been as good as they are. I don't think they would have had that first place, top of the Western Conference, amazing regular season that they had. Of course, we know that that didn't really result in an NBA Finals appearance or a championship, which is what Utah wanted. Although, we haven't seen De'Aaron Fox play in the playoffs. Maybe if De'Aaron had gotten the opportunity to play with Rudy Gobert and that Utah Jazz team in the playoffs, he would have taken his game to another level, a level that I believe he is confident or he is capable of achieving. And I'm confident that if he gets the opportunity to play in the playoffs, De'Aaron Fox will turn heads. I've said that for years. I really firmly, truly believe that there's still another level of De'Aaron's game that he can go to. And it's kind of hard to honestly expect him to get to that level without the games being as meaningful as play-in and playoff games are. That's, I mean, John Morant is a superstar, right? And I know that the comparisons between Fox and John Morant are tired. I'm using this specifically as an example because when John Morant got the opportunity to perform on the playoff stage, he took his game to another level. I think De'Aaron Fox could absolutely do the same thing. Maybe even better if he gets that opportunity. We don't know yet. But I have seen Donovan Mitchell there. So in my mind, Donovan Mitchell is the more proven, better star player than De'Aaron Fox at this point in time in his career. However, if the Kings, and I don't think this is likely, if the Kings were to pull off a trade and bring Donovan Mitchell to Sacramento without trading De'Aaron Fox, I have no idea how that combo works. They're both primary scoring guards who need the ball in their hand. I think De'Aaron would have to take more of a support role to Donovan Mitchell, not the other way around, which is significant. Donovan Mitchell, I don't think, can support De'Aaron Fox the same way De'Aaron can support Donovan. But if De'Aaron is playing a supporting role to Donovan, I don't know if you're maximizing De'Aaron Fox or setting yourself up to fully make use of De'Aaron's skill set. Now, as great as it would be on paper to see a Kings starting five that featured Fox, Mitchell, and Sabonis, I don't think that's possible. That team is probably a playoff team. They're winning a lot of games, in my opinion, right? I just don't think they're optimized. I don't know if that team's winning a championship, which ultimately is what it's about. I know we want to walk before we can run, right? We want the Sacramento Kings to make the playoffs. But at that point, if you're combining those players together, you have aspirations of surrounding them with the talent that gets you to the playoffs, or gets you to a championship, right? You're talking about a big three at that point. I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I'm saying I don't know how it does work. Plus, if we're being honest, if we're being realistic, I don't know how that deal gets done with De'Aaron Fox still here. And maybe the Utah Jazz try to go after Domantas Sabonis in the deal instead of De'Aaron Fox. And I still don't think that's a move that the Sacramento Kings necessarily consider or like, because then you're back to the same problem of having two really, really good scoring guards and no front court help to optimize them, right? I think Domantas Sabonis would be super important to the success of both De'Aaron Fox and Donovan Mitchell here in Sacramento. So who would the Kings in this unrealistic scenario of keeping Fox and Sabonis while acquiring Donovan Mitchell, how the hell do they get that done? Well, the deal starts with Keegan Murray and probably Davion Mitchell, and you're talking about multiple draft picks and assets on top of that. That's an all-in move for Monty McNair if he wants to go for it. Again, I don't know if that is the right all-in for McNair to take. I don't think it is. And even then, I don't know if Utah's game for that. I mean, those are two solid young players. The draft compensation on top of that, especially if it's from the Sacramento Kings, although the Kings are kind of locked up with what kind of draft compensation they can offer because of the Kevin Huerter deal with the Atlanta Hawks, so that you have to keep that into account as well. I don't think it's realistic to expect the Kings to be able to get a trade like that done without De'Aaron Fox being a part of the deal. Could be wrong, but that's my feeling on the situation. So, you might be asking, well, Matt, if you feel that Donovan Mitchell is a better player than De'Aaron Fox, why are you hesitant to trade De'Aaron Fox in the deal? I'm hesitant for two reasons. Number one is I firmly believe, I really truly believe that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis would work better together and will work better together than Donovan Mitchell and Domantas Sabonis. I think Sabonis is a better fit with Fox and the two play better off of each other than Donovan Mitchell would with Sabonis. And if you were to trade Fox in this deal, you have an issue at the point guard spot. And I don't think, even if you're trading Fox in the deal, I don't think you're getting away with just sending Fox and draft picks. I think it's probably Fox. They're still asking for Keegan Murray. At that point, I say no. They're still asking for Davion Mitchell. And I'm not game to do that either, because I would want Davion Mitchell to become the starting point guard if Donovan Mitchell was still here. You'd have the Mitchell backcourt, right? The defender that can score, can facilitate, and then Donovan, who's the star scorer. And again, I still don't know if that's as optimal as I think Fox and Sabonis and Keegan and Harrison and Mitchell off the bench with this Monk and Herter would be. And all those names, everything that I just said, all falls into my ultimate point here, which is I know Monty McNair wants to keep his options open. He wants to keep cap flexibility. He wants to be able to be in the running, in the sweepstakes when players like Donovan Mitchell come available. A year and a half ago, 2 years ago, hell, maybe a year ago, if I had told you, hey, I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be available for the Kings to potentially trade for him, I think I would have been laughed at. Because why the hell would the Utah Jazz want to trade Donovan Mitchell? Look what they have going in Utah. The Jazz would never be in that situation. Now, circumstances change, and circumstances are going to continue to change. There are going to be players at this upcoming trade deadline. There are going to be players next offseason that are suddenly available that we thought no chance in hell they'd be available, right? Monty McNair wants to keep his options open to be able to potentially make a run at one of those guys. And he said that multiple times in his press conferences. But the move also has to make sense. And the move, in my opinion, can't erase all of the work that you've been putting in or the blueprint that you've been laying out. Look at Monty McNair's blueprint. Look at what he's done over the last 6 months. The trade of Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, all that move for Domantas Sabonis, a player that fits with Fox. It's a move that you're going all in on De'Aaron. You're getting De'Aaron the front court help that he's never had that you believe he needs in Sabonis. And on top of that, this entire offseason, all you have done is bring in coaches and players who optimize that pairing, who fit with that pairing. Those two aren't good shooters. You need more shooting. That's what the Sacramento Kings have gone out and gotten. You needed a versatile wing to fit next to Domantas Sabonis. You drafted that in Keegan Murray. You brought in De'Aaron Fox's, one of his best friends and his former teammate at Kentucky, Malik Monk, to play with De'Aaron Fox. If you trade Fox away now for Donovan Mitchell, even if you feel you got better short term, it erases everything that you're doing. Honestly, I'm not going to say that De'Aaron Fox is untradeable to Monty McNair for that scenario. But if I were to be in a room with Monty McNair, one of the first things I would ask him, more than likely off the record, one of the first things I would ask him is, one, how committed are you to De'Aaron Fox? And two, are you willing to take away everything that you've done over the span with 1 month until training camp begins? Are you willing to blow all that up or to make a move like this? My feeling is Monty McNair wouldn't be interested in this. I think he's interested in Donovan Mitchell. I think he's interested in acquiring Donovan Mitchell and maybe trying to figure it out with Fox and Sabonis and putting that big three together in Sacramento, because talent ultimately wins out. But is he willing to move on from Fox, move on from Sabonis, veer away from this path that he's created for himself just because all of a sudden this player is available, even when it's a long shot for him to acquire him? I don't think so. I don't think it makes sense. I'm not saying that I wouldn't want Donovan Mitchell on the team. I'm not saying that I would pick De'Aaron Fox over Donovan Mitchell, even though for the Sacramento Kings scenario, I think it makes more sense. It's not a player versus player comparison, because like I said, I think Donovan Mitchell is the better player than Fox. He has the track record that Fox doesn't have, that hopefully Fox gets this season in Sacramento. But situation, team, surrounding, supporting cast, all of this comes into play. Monty McNair has built a team that, at least on paper, we believe supports De'Aaron Fox. And one of Fox's biggest weaknesses, the two biggest weaknesses of Fox's game, you have attempted to address. You brought in a bunch of shooters to give him space to operate. And you brought in a coach who can hopefully get Fox and the rest of this team to engage defensively as a unit to improve that huge weakness for the roster as a whole, not just for De'Aaron. I honestly couldn't tell you if De'Aaron Fox is a better or worse defender than Donovan Mitchell. They might be even, to be honest with you. I think Fox could have the potential to be a better defender. Where are you at with this? It sounds like I'm fence-sitting, but honestly, okay, I'll make it clear. I'm not fence-sitting. I'll make it clear. If I'm Monty McNair, even if I have a realistic shot at doing this, I'm not doing it. I said it. I'm not doing it. I love Donovan Mitchell. He's one of my favorite players in the league. As much as I would like to see him in a Kings uniform, I don't think it makes sense. I don't think you can get the job done without trading away assets that you don't want to move on from. And even if you could get it done without trading away the biggest of hauls that I think is going to be required, you still have major question marks and are completely changing what you're trying to do with a month to go before training camp. So, not fence sitting. I don't do this deal. I don't think it makes sense. I don't think it works out as well as the Sacramento Kings want it to work out. Does it make them better short term? Probably. Depends on what they give up. But I think the Kings are on the right path right now. Not saying the Kings don't need Donovan Mitchell, because that would feel foolish to say. And the Kings, being a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 17 or 16 years, they're not in a position to say they don't need anybody. I think what they're doing right now is correct. I really firmly believe that what the plan that Monty McNair is executing is a good one, and it's going to have results, positive results that the Kings have been looking for. So there, I'm not fence sitting. That's the side I'm taking. Are you on my side? Are you on the other side? Let's talk about it. At Matt George Sack on Twitter. Email me, mattgeorgesports@gmail.com. Leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. Speaking of Monty McNair, people have been asking me about his contract situation. I'm going to share with you my thoughts, kind of what I've heard on Monty McNair's contract situation, why I'm not concerned, but why I do believe a deal just needs to get done. We'll talk about that after I tell you about BetOnline, amazing sponsor here of the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm so thankful for BetOnline. They're the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. You can find all your favorite sporting events, and it's the number one source for all your odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every single league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. They have all of it. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. And hey, right now you can actually bet on where you think Donovan Mitchell is going to end up. I'm telling you, the odds for the Sacramento Kings, they're not great. Or, well, they're really low. But if it happens and you bet right now, you're probably making a good amount of money. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening right now at BetOnline, where the game starts. Do I think Monty McNair deserves a new contract? Absolutely. Do I think it's in the best interest of the Sacramento Kings to put Monty McNair at the bare minimum on a similar length of contract to Domantas Sabonis? A 2 to 3 year deal, basically making it known that his job relies heavily on what happens over the next couple of seasons and if Sabonis walks or not. Yeah, I think that makes sense for the Sacramento Kings. I think they should do that. Am I concerned that it hasn't happened to this point? I know I've talked about this before, and I'm just reiterating because people keep asking me about it. I'm not concerned, because every indication that I've gotten from conversations that I've had Monty's not in trouble. There's not an intense pressure on Monty. There's a pressure on the entire organization, right, to end the playoff streak. There's a pressure certainly on De'Aaron Fox. There's a pressure of the 2 years of Sabonis's contract. I'm not saying it's a pressure-free environment and Monty's not feeling anything because he needs to feel pressure. Fans deserve to put pressure on the Kings organization, right? They've been losing for so damn long. Like, win, damn it. That's pressure. But I know ownership is not breathing down McNair's neck. I know ownership is not threatening McNair with his job. Or at least from what I understand, that is the scenario. Monty is fine. He's in full control of this team. We can remove all speculation of Vivek making decisions versus McNair making decisions or Wes Wilcox making decisions versus McNair making decisions. Again, every indication that I've gotten is this is completely McNair's team. He's operated like he said he would from day one, which suggests he has the keys and the car is not getting taken away from him. Now, that being said, I understand not wanting to be in a lame duck position as a general manager. And I'm sure there are conversations happening. I would not be surprised at all if McNair does have a new contract by the time training camp and next season starts. Or maybe during next season, depending upon how the season goes, Monty does get an extension. Maybe there's a small possibility that if the Kings open up next year and are dreadful and completely underperform again and crash and burn and they have a season this season like they did last year, maybe Monty could lose his job just because somebody needs to get fired at that point. But I think even the Sacramento Kings know that that would be foolish and they would just be starting the cycle over again. So I think Monty deserves a new contract. I think it's in the Kings' best interest just to give it to him at this point. And I know I've had this conversation with Damian Barling. Maybe there's a reason that there hasn't gotten a contract hasn't been signed at this point. Maybe it's Monty's decision. Maybe Monty's saying, hey, look, let me get this figured out and then we'll go and we'll negotiate and then we'll talk. Monty, as far as I understand, and all indication of his moves, his conversations that I've had with him, everything points to Monty knows that he's going to be here. Monty is confident that he is going to be the general manager of the Kings to see what happens with these future draft picks that he either traded away in the Atlanta Hawks deal, Kevin Huerter trade, or remember the 2027 second round pick or whatever the hell that he got by trading this year's, the 37th pick in this year's draft. He's operating with the expectation that he'll be in charge of what happens with that pick one day. I have full confidence that he has full confidence in that. I have all indications pointing to that's how he is operating, which is good. You don't want a general manager making moves to save his job. You don't want a general manager playing scared, basically. And again, as far as I've been told, from what I've seen from being around him, both at Summer League and during the draft process, the pre-draft process, the Mike Brown hiring process, Monty McNair is comfortable. Now, he shouldn't be too comfortable because the Sacramento Kings ultimately have to win, and he hasn't done any winning yet. But he's not operating as if the Grim Reaper's lurking over his shoulder ready to take his job. So I'm confident in that. I'm comfortable in that. I hope he gets a contract extension, one, so these conversations can go away, and two, because I think he's earned it. I think he deserves it. I think Monty McNair has easily been the best general manager that the Sacramento Kings have had since Jeff Petrie, and the bar was really freaking low. Really low. So he didn't have to do a whole lot to surpass that bar, but he has surpassed that bar and then some. Maybe some of you aren't willing to say that or feel the same way because he hasn't won yet. I'm telling you, the Sacramento Kings have operated over the last couple of years significantly better than they have since Jeff Petrie was fired. It's clear to me. So I'm not concerned about Monty's situation. If you are, you don't have to believe me. You don't have to take my word for it. You can accept my read on the situation or not. Maybe you won't be comfortable until a contract is signed. That's fine. I think it's going to get done. I don't think it's worth worrying about at this point. Now, next season, winning basketball games, putting a roster together, figuring out training camp, that's all worth worrying about. And don't worry, we're going to continue to worry about that, and we're going to continue to discuss that here on Locked On Kings. So coming up on the next episode of the Locked On Kings podcast, like I planned for this episode, we're going to dive deep into what De'Aaron Fox has to do and what has to happen to the Sacramento Kings for Fox to make an all-star team. I've said a million times, I think Fox is capable of being an NBA all-star. I think it's in Fox's future to be an NBA all-star. But two things in particular have to happen. A couple other little things, but two things in particular have to happen. I'll tell you what those two things are, and we'll discuss more about De'Aaron Fox and his future on the next episode of Locked On Kings. But as for right now, let me know your thoughts on the Kings potentially trading for Donovan Mitchell. Where do you think he's going to end up? What would you trade if you're the Kings for Donovan Mitchell? Or do you agree with me that it doesn't really make sense for the Kings at this point? What are your thoughts on Monty McNair and his contract situation? Also, I'm going to throw this question out there because I've had now three different Locked On hosts reach out to me and ask, what would the Sacramento Kings want in exchange for Harrison Barnes? And what I've told all three of them the same thing. A player at his position, a wing who's younger and on a better contract, but is not that bad, right? Who is not a significant drop-off. The Kings are not trading away Harrison Barnes for picks and for a scrub player or for a bench player. They're not doing it. They're trying to win basketball games right now. They're not going to make themselves worse short term for draft picks and draft compensation, even if there is the possibility of losing Harrison Barnes at the end of the year. I feel so confident in saying that. So what would you want in return for Harrison Barnes? Let me know. Again, at Matt George Sack on Twitter. Email me, mattgeorgesports@gmail.com or at gmail.com. And you can leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. Appreciate your support as always. Can't wait to have you join me on the next episode again. Talking about De'Aaron Fox making an all-star team. What he has to do. The two things that need to happen next year for Fox to be an all-star. That's coming up on the next episode. Until then, my name is Matt George. You've been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.